Well, good afternoon, Aunt Taylor.
Good afternoon, Grandpa.
I am not Grandpa.
Old man. Papa.
I may be an old man, but I'm not old man. I want to be called the old man.
Papa.
Papa Metz. Not Papa. Papa Metz.
Papa.
P-O-P-P-A. Or P-A-P-A.
P-O-P.
No W's on the A's and A's. Welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's going to be a repeat week this week. We're going to listen to what our interview with Davey Height from a few weeks ago. Since the elites are up on St. Lawrence River in Waddington, New York, it's still pertinent. If you missed that show over the 4th of July weekend, you missed a good one. Mm-hmm. Had a good time with Davey, and he's up there doing on-the-water stuff, and then he's on site. And you can see him. He does an hour or so. I think he and Zona do a couple of hours while the other bunch is off at lunch.
Yep.
But and the reason we're doing that is because, well, he hasn't been born as of this recording.
This is taking place at
late Thursday 10,
12
night.
On
yeah,
Thursday night.
We've been on baby watch, and he's early. He's doesn't have much patience. So he's
he smelled the pizza from the other night.
Yeah,
from
he
his
smelled
party
the pizza
and decided
from
he
the,
was ready.
From the other side, decided he was ready to come. So he's coming. He's 34 weeks. My oldest daughter Jordan and her husband Daniel. So he is not here yet as of this recording, but we expect him to be here within the next 8 hours.
Yep.
Or so.
Gonna be a long night.
So sometime Friday morning, we're just gonna stay up all night.
I'm down for that. I don't think I can sleep. So.
I got Jack Bauer in 24 over here on the TV going.
I feel like it's like Christmas Eve. Like,
and we can't be there. That's the whole thing. We can't be with her.
But you better believe we get that call that it's happening. I'm on my way to the hospital.
Just gonna
I
sit
don't
in the parking lot.
What time it is?
It's just gonna sit in the parking lot so we can be close.
I'll get myself a coffee and I will stay up all night as long as I need to.
So that's why we're gonna listen to Davey again because this week has been so jumbled up. It has been impossible to get together and get a new show done up, so y'all forgive us for that. We did get, in the interim, we did get out and see Higher Ground, the premiere of the, I guess it's what, about an hour-long film about last year's South Carolina 7 at the Newberry Opry House, which is a pretty cool little place.
It will make you really appreciate the state you're from.
Oh, you'll love it. If you're a South Carolinian, it'll make you almost cry.
I was afraid to say something, but I was like, oh, my goodness.
We have just – and the guy, he's actually from Germany, mm-hmm. who did the video. And
a fellow
– A lot of drone
– German, Germanian, German
– Germanic.
Germanic.
Yeah, because we're from Germany originally. So he does a lot of drone footage, a lot of interview footage.
It's absolutely incredible.
It is. It's an incredible film, and it'll be out. I can get a copy of it, so we may have a show in Greenville. Who knows?
It's worth a watch.
Yeah, very much. I think Geddes said he'd seen it 3 times, and he still likes it the third time around.
Geddes told me to keep him awake during the whole thing.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Geddes sees it like that. by the way, happy birthday to Tom Mulliken. He turned, well, I won't say how old he is, but he had a birthday on the 15th. along with Geddes, had a birthday on the 15th. And I don't know, we still got an hour and 45 minutes for Junior to have a birthday on the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But anyway, real quickly, let's go through the next week of South Carolina 7, Taylor.
Okay.
You're first.
Okay. Sunday, July 18th, will be the Battle of Camden. So after the fall of Charlestown, the Continental troops began reforming at Charlotte. And their essential plan was to control South Carolina. That was the British plan. So they're going to go through and have a reenactment and hike the nature trail at historic Camden site.
Which is right downtown Camden, South Carolina. It's pretty cool driving through there.
Mm-hmm.
Monday, July 19th, kayak and explore the Santee Indian Mound fields at Fort Watson site. Indian Mound's pretty cool things. So you have the kayak, the Carolina King Retreat and Marina to the Santee Indian Mound at Fort Watson site. Explore the Santee Indian Mounds at Fort Watson. Approximately a 2-mile kayak trip.
Tuesday, the 20th, they're going to be visiting the memorial of Francis Marion. They're going to have a service for him at Bell Island or Belle Isle Plantation Cemetery. And you're actually, there's no hike with this one. That's just, you're just going to participate in it.
You can tell we're tired, folks. Sorry about that. Day 21, Wednesday, July 21st, is the Lake Moultrie Passage. It's the scenic and popular passage, rings the eastern and northern shores of the 60,000-acre lake, the third largest lake in South Carolina. And the views are spectacular. So it's a five-mile hike, if you're interested in that, at Bono Beach and ending at Highway 52 Trailhead.
Thursday, the 22nd, they're going to be the Cypress, they're going to be at Cypress Gardens. Good gosh. Which is in Monk's Corner, and it's a 3.5 mile hike through the trail, surrounded by swamp and gardens. Golly.
Friday, July 23rd, hike and explore Fort Fairlawn Revolutionary War Fortification. It's probably the most pristine, intact, original American Revolutionary War fortification in South Carolina, if not the country. He's executive director of South Carolina Battleground, at Doug Bostick, who's executive director for South Carolina Battleground Preservation Trust. Of the more than 30 forts constructed in South Carolina during the Revolutionary War, only two remain in their original condition, the 96 historic site and Fort Fairlane, Fairlawn.
You want me to go Saturday?
Sure.
Okay, so the 24th, they're going to be at Swamp Fox Passage, which is the longest section of cross-state Palmetto Trail. Yada yada blah 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 blah.
Come
can't
on,
read it.
They're gonna do it via canoe along the Wabdu Creek Canoe Trail from the canoe launch near milepost 43 to the intersection with South Carolina 402.
Thank you.
Yes, it's been a week.
Uh-huh.
We made it through that part. Okay, get you up another minute here. The South Carolina Department of Natural Resources wants you to know that the deer lottery applications are now available. So it's accepting through 5 p.m. on August 15th. The multi-site, unrestricted multi-site, web gun, and web archery lotteries operate independently and maintain separate preference points. The unrestricted multi-site lottery application will cover hunting opportunities on Bear Island, Donnelly, and Bonne Ferry WMAs with no antler restrictions at these sites. The other multi-site lottery application includes Belfast, Botany Bay, Hamilton Ridge, Palachicola, and Water Reed River Heritage Preserve. Antler restrictions apply to these multi-site locations. Due to COVID, the web gun lottery was not available in 2020, but it is available this year, and it is a hunter's responsibility to adhere to any necessary COVID precautions, yada, yada, yada. If selected, you'll be eating the same room as other hunters and be lodging in the same room with other hunters not on your application. DNR reserves the right to assign rooms for lodging in order to minimize mixing of hunters. That's the one we need to put in for the web deer hunt, where you stay in the big old house and have those wonderful meals. Oh, at least they used to be really good. I'm sure they still are. That's the first place I saw a sweet tea olive tree. Was it the web center? There's a huge one in the front yard. And we were there in like late November, and it was blooming, and you could be 100 yards downwind, and the smell of apricots was like you were holding one in front of your nose. I love it. That's why we have one here at our house. Sweet tea olive tree. Mm-hmm. So anyway, get out there, join South Carolina 7, and really a fun time. We had a fun time viewing the movie. The Newbury Opry House is quite a historic place. If you, it's the oldest operating venue like that in South Carolina, I believe. And Higher Ground was a good movie. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the elites are up on St. Lawrence River. They have been whacking them for 3 days now, and I'm sure it'll be interesting to see who wins out the last event of the season. We'll be at ICAST next week, so look for a...
Wish us luck.
If we make it down there, depending on how Junior's doing. And if we get down, we'll bring you a best of ICAST from down there in the interim. Enjoy Davey Height. And we'll be back.
Pray for us.
Yeah, pray for us, and pray for Jordan and Daniel, and we'll be back next week. I grew up in South Carolina. Oh, Taylor's all smiles because we worked in a little bit of her bumper
Josh
music.
Kerr. All in bluegrass and country song.
Oh my goodness, she is singing on the show, folks. I get in trouble for doing that every week, and now she's doing it.
I'm a better singer than you.
You're a better singer than mine. That's exactly right. But you know, yeah, he's talking about South Carolina low country, and I probably, if I had to bet, I bet our guest is down that way. Because he was catfishing early in the week. He may have come back home now, but I bet Davey Height, welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina, but I bet you're enjoying that place down on Santee.
I am enjoying it, but you were right, and then you were wrong, but then you were right again. I was down there catfishing, and I did come back home to just check on the dog and take care of a few things around home, but I will be right back down there.
So okay.
Pretty much got me pegged there,
okay. Roger. Man, must be nice.
It's a rough life, Taylor.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's the toughest.
It's great to be with y'all. It's been a little while, but yeah. I've been missing Taylor a little bit just by coincidence. Her being at the Classic, I didn't even get to see you guys. We were both there.
You've missed
one another. I've seen Roger a little bit more often than that, but it's good to be on the show with you guys. I really enjoy it every time.
Well, we appreciate you taking your time off, and we know how valuable it is and how busy you can get. So when we can get you on, we'd love to have you on. And Taylor's head just swelled up about two or three sizes when you said you're missing seeing Taylor.
And you've missed a lot here. I've got a bunch to update you on, Davey. Let's just say that. You've missed a lot.
I'm ready. All here. One thing before we get going on that stuff.
Yeah.
Your singing was great. I promise you I will not sing because I know my limitations when it comes to singing. I knew that that's fine, but I'm not about to sing on your show.
That's all right. You can just talk.
Look,
talk is enough.
I wouldn't cut you off if you started singing.
I'd cut you off if you started singing, Daddy.
I know you would.
So, Roger?
Yes.
Roger, I think you would. If you ever heard me sing, I think you would cut me off if I started singing. I do. I love to dance, but I don't even try to sing. We got a little interruption there with a phone call.
Oh, that's all right. No problem. So you like to dance, but you don't sing.
Yeah, exactly. I just like to beat, and I like to sing. But I sing to myself.
Oh, this is going to be great because you're going to love the outro music for this segment.
Oh, no.
This is great. I couldn't have planned this any better if I knew it.
Oh, no.
It's all right, Taylor. It'll be
fun.
It's
always got to be the music.
But we do enjoy having you on the show. Love seeing you around. Love seeing you on live. Mm-hmm. Man, it is so much fun watching you on live. Taylor, I know you got some. Why don't you start him off? Because I'm about to spill your first question, but go ahead.
Yeah, you are.
I am.
So I actually got this one wrong. I thought it was you're going into your third year doing it, but you're actually going into your fourth year of Bass Live. Are you still enjoying it like you were when you first started?
I enjoy it. I've enjoyed it since day one, and it's really amazing that I'm enjoying this because this is something I never dreamed of doing. I dreamed of being a professional bass fisherman basically my entire life since I was about 11 or 12 years old. But I never thought that I would be doing, you know, co-hosting some live shows, doing the commentary on the water, or, you know, it's just something that I never dreamed of doing. But when they offered me the opportunity to do this and to work for Bass and to cover the elite tournaments, I had been thinking for a few years, what am I going to do when I retire? I mean, when you're a professional fisherman, what do you do when you retire? I mean, I don't go play golf, and you don't all of a sudden start fishing more than you ever have because I've been fishing my whole life. So I never wanted to, and I got to be careful with my words here because I respect anyone that wants to, you know, if you want to fish professionally until you're 70, 80 years old, then more power to you. But I never wanted to do that. I wanted to fish professionally and make a good living and hopefully win a few tournaments and accomplish a few things. And then just fish for fun or the enjoyment of fishing the way I did when I was a kid later on in life. I didn't want to have to keep that competitive grind up until I was 60, 70 years old. So, but I didn't know what I was going to do. So when they offered me this, it was perfect. And I do still enjoy it, to directly answer your question, Taylor. But the big misconception, I think, a lot of people ask me, do you miss fishing? I fish as much as I have, maybe not when I was a teenager, but I fish as much as I have in the last 25 years right now. A lot of it is at Santee and Lake Murray, some at Lake Greenwood, Hartwell, you know, all of our local lakes, Clark Hill.
Sure.
Right.
But I still fish a lot. This Northern Swing for the Elite, the week in between those two tournaments, I'm going smallmouth fish for the entire week. So I love to fish till the day I die.
Sure.
But I do enjoy working with Tommy, Zona, Suits, Ronnie, all of those folks there at BASS. And there's a lot of people involved. You guys know that. But there's always a lot of people behind the scenes. And I enjoy – it's just a great group of people.
I bet y'all just have a ball. Whatever y'all do, y'all together, listening to y'all on live sometimes, I'm just like, yep, there could be no better people to work Bass Live than y'all.
And I don't think there's any personality conflicts. Y'all go together so well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I really do appreciate that. And then, you know, I get asked about, is Zona really that crazy? Well, yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I've known Mark Zona since, you know, he was fishing the Invitationals and I was fishing the Invitationals. And,
wow.
And we've been friends for a very long time. And Tommy Sanders is just, he's the epitome of the outdoor voice, I guess you could say, of ESPN for so many years, and he just fits that mold so well, and it's just, and Ronnie and Suits they're great to work with. I mean, we all kind of know our roles and understand one another, and thankfully they understand a lot of my limitations, and there aren't a lot to understand, but I love working with the folks, and that means everything.
Who is crazier, Zona or Mercer?
That's good.
That is a good one, and I have to think about that a little bit, to be honest with you.
I don't know Mark. I don't know as much about Mark as I do Dave, because Mark's like either on the studio or on the water. You know, Mercer's there in the morning and at weigh-ins and all, so he's a little more accessible. We talk to him a little more, so I don't know much about Mark Zona, but I, you know, just the personas and all that, they got to be pretty close.
They are, and that's why I say I have to hesitate a little bit to even think which one is crazier. I guess Zona by a hair.
Okay.
And it'd be a photo finish.
That's scary.
That is scary.
I didn't know anybody could be crazier than Mercer. I mean, I love the guy, don't get me wrong. But
he is a handful.
Yeah, he is.
They are so great to work with. They really are. And you know, I've known both of them for a long time. I've known Zona a little longer than Dave Mercer, but just great people. And here's the cool thing, and I know we're on your radio show,
sure.
But just like I'm talking to you, Taylor, and to you, Roger, like
yeah.
We're talking with one another. I know both of them. I know their wives. I know their families. They are good people.
Okay.
Good family people. And that means so much. They're, you know, there's a lot of personality there and a lot of, you know, a lot of talent, but when you get right down to it, they really are family people in their own way.
That's cool.
Well, like you said, you're out in the water here, you're in the studio here. How do you juggle both, the times you're out in the water and times you're in the studio?
Okay, so when I was talking with Mike McInnes, who is Jerry McInnes' son, for those who don't know that, I know y'all know that.
But, yeah.
I guess he's my first line supervisor.
Okay.
When I was talking to him and Bruce Aiken, a Bass, about potentially doing this live, I felt like I needed to be on the water at least a percentage of the time, not just be in studio.
Sure.
Because I wanted to interact with the anglers on site. I wanted to be out on the water some to get a feel for the events. Now, I actually like doing some studio work too, but with new anglers coming along, I get to know them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, you can just name from a Brian New. I guess Brian New would be a good example. He worked his way up through the Open.
Right.
And is doing well on the Elite in his first year. You guys, you know, he's right there from North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we know Brian.
Getting to know the people when they, and their personalities as a fisherman on the water, not just well, not just on the water, but on the water and also around the weigh-in stage before and after weigh-ins, and maybe go out to dinner with them and that sort of thing. So it's real important to me. I guess if I had to pick which one I like the most, it is on the water.
Okay.
But I enjoy being in the studio, and I will have to admit, being in studio is much, much easier. You don't have to worry about the rain, the wind. Yep. Thermostat set at 72. I mean, it's all good.
Yeah. Now, one thing I got to ask you about being on the water, and we got about a minute and a half here. Do you have the same camera person? It seems like there's a name that keeps cropping up that you're out on the water with. Now, is she your camera person out on the water?
She is, and her name is Ashley Wages, and she is great. And she's never been on, like, last year when we were out on Lake Ontario. One of those days, it was legit 5 or 6 footers.
Oh, my goodness.
I could tell she was nervous, but she trusts me, and she knows. She's told me this before. This was before Lake Ontario. She told me that she was talking to her mom, and her mom's like, be careful out there. So, and she said, Mom, I'm with Davey, and he's made his living on the water his entire life, and I'll be fine. So she has confidence in me. But when we were on Lake Ontario last year, at one point I looked at her, and she was wide as a goat. I didn't think you might land, and she said yes. And the moment she stepped on land, well, let's just say seasickness set in.
Oh, yeah.
But she never said a word. And once I thought about it, she's looking through that camera lens.
Oh, yeah.
6 footers. I mean,
yeah.
It would have made me sick.
Yeah.
She's looking through that camera lens, and everything's moving around her. So, but she is great. And I've been fortunate enough to basically, you know, she's my camera gal. And
yeah.
They better not try to take her.
That's great. Oh, Taylor, I mean, we had 3 questions, and we spent almost 13 minutes. So that's the first segment of the show. Davey, we got some more stuff we want to ask you, and if you'll hang on through this next segment, we'll get to some of that, and then we'll see about the third one. But I think it's going great so far, and we're having a good time. So hang on, folks. Back with more Davey Height and maybe the Northern Swing on the Elite Stop when we get back. We're going to let this play out a little more because during the break, Davey was talking a little bit of a smack about his dancing and singing. So hang on. We're going to let this music go a little bit so it'll set the stage for what Davey wants to talk about here. So, these little talks between segments are so much fun. Here we go.
Yep.
Here it is, right here.
So bad. You guys are so bad. I was not tooting my horn about dancing. I just said I can dance, but I cannot sing. I mean, when you're in the fourth grade and you're taking chorus,
yes,
and the teacher says, you know, it might just be best if you hum or just move your lips and don't sing. That's when you know you can't sing.
You can't sing. But you can dance.
I do like to dance.
You do like to dance. Tell us about your dancing. And what do you like to dance to? I mean, I'm sure it's not ballroom dancing. Taylor's a big swing dancer. Taylor goes to swing dance like every Wednesday night.
Tuesday.
Are you a more like a Cool in the Gang type funky music disking?
When it comes to music, I like it all. It just depends on the mood I'm in. So much driving throughout my career, you have to listen to music. But I mean, heck, I can enjoy some Sugar Hill Gang from way back.
Oh,
Cool
gosh.
The Gang, the Commodores. I love the Shag.
Oh,
I like Texas Two-Step. I love to dance the country music. I line dance. I mean, the Boot Scoop Boogie. I knew 3 or 4 versions of that, line dance of that. But I like doing all that. I do like to dance, and I cannot sing.
And he can walk. Taylor, sounds like we need to find an occasion where you two can get in and do a line dance together. I will admit, Taylor scares the heck out of me with the rhythm she's got.
Oh, I'm a good dancer.
I mean, it's scary, Dave, because you know all the boys in the room are looking, you know? That's the part that's the real killer.
Well, as a dad, I'm sure that would be
that
would be tough.
No, it's fine.
I never had to go through that.
Yeah. Well,
I got it narrowed down to one boy now. We good.
Oh, jeez. One boy at the moment. Poor guy. He has no idea what's in store for him.
Oh, my word. Thanks, Dad.
You're welcome. But anyway, now that we're moving on from Davy Height and dancing, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
That's fodder for when we see him on the road or something like that. We can, yeah.
Davy, I ought to take you swing dancing with me. I'll do that.
Oh, my goodness. You take a Davy Height swing dancing.
Hey.
That'll work.
Let me tell you what. This place they go to, there's a couple places around they go to, and they are always packed.
Mm-hmm.
Always packed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kids, and they're having a good time, and it's good to see them out and doing. It really is. So anyway, okay, well, moving along from dancing. And this is odd because this is almost July and we're still talking about the Classic because it was just a couple of weeks ago. But Davy, finished up the Fort Worth Classic. Going in, who'd you have picked to win?
Gosh, you know, I really didn't have any one person that I thought, since I've been doing Bass Live, they let me pick any angler I want to spend the one practice day with, or they have so far.
Okay.
And I try to pick the person that I think is going to have the best chance of winning, but I was torn this year, and I ended up riding with Clark Wendler, which is a great friend, and he's a Texas angler, and, you know, he had a good practice day. You've seen this, Roger.
Yep.
You can have a good practice day and things not work out, just like any other tournament. But Hank Cherry, and I'm just going to say this. I'm not trying to, you know, be the Monday morning quarterback and say he was my pick.
Sure.
But I'd never heard him say what he said when I talked with him before the tournament in personal interviews, that I've had the best practice I've ever had in my life. Now, this is the defending champion saying that.
Right, yeah.
So he certainly was on my radar. But did I pick him, you know, a month before the Classic? No. But man, what a Classic. And first and foremost, congratulations to Hank Cherry.
Yeah.
Matt Airy made a good run that final day. Certainly had to fish on his line to win. Just did not work out. I've been there, done that. I had a second place class at Phoenix one time and had to fish on to win. But Matt Airy's a great fisherman. He'll get his, no doubt about it.
Oh, absolutely.
The one other thing, the fans showed up in Fort Worth. Y'all were there.
Yeah.
It makes you feel great about our sport. Even with the pandemic, this is the first year I've ever questioned, man, I wonder if we'll really have a packed crowd here in the expo, in the arena and that sort of thing. But, man, the Bassmaster fans, the Bass Tournament fans as a whole, they never fail to show up, and it was a great event there at Fort Worth, Texas.
Absolutely was. It was that, like, there again, the rain delay was tough on Saturday morning. It was tough to sit there. I know that a lot of guys took naps and all, and a lot of guys were catching those fish early. And I think Saturday at weigh-in, when people were coming in with one fish, two fish, I think you saw that. Just how many people were catching their fish that first 2-3 hours of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And that goes back to, you know, we had a summer classic. Well, technically it wasn't quite summer, but most people kind of, even though according to the calendar, it was another week or so before summer. But that time of year, in the middle of June in Texas, you got to catch a lot of your fish early in the morning. And it really hurt the weights overall to not get those first 2 hours in on Saturday.
Yeah. And I marshaled on Friday with Shane LeHue, Baby Shark. And, you know, I had heard that the water was up. And, you know, there were times we were fishing, like, in patches of buck brush, which would have been along the bank, and there was, like, yard grass below us, but I was amazed how clear that water is. So that water had been up a long time, then, hadn't it, Davy?
It had been up a long time, and here's the other thing that really helps when a lake's flooded like that. It surprised me the same day that you were out there with Shane, I was with Clark. I was aquatic vegetation was in that lake. There was some hydrilla, but a lot of milfoil, and it does a great job of filtering and the waters. And some of our lakes here in South Carolina that are basically void of aquatic vegetation, man, when we have a lot of rains and that water gets dirty, it takes them a long time for that water to clear.
Which is interesting because we got the Classic coming up here in Hartwell, and that's one of those lakes mm-hmm. takes a long time to clear up. But, you know, Taylor and I did a road trip back in March, Taylor, or April, mm-hmm. March. And we actually came down to Lake Moultrie, and wind got up on us the day we were there. We stayed at Black's Camp, which was a neat experience for those of you who've never been there. It's a neat place, got great cheeseburgers. Mm-hmm. And we fished a little bit, but like I said, the wind kept us going where we wanted to, but I was amazed how clear that lake is at that time of the year.
Yeah, it is, and it does have a fair amount of shoreline vegetation, which helps it a lot, even with the winds we have. But I think one thing that's really beneficial for Lake Moultrie is most of the shorelines are sand. It's almost like just beach sand, where in the upstate we have a lot of red clay.
Right.
If you have wind and some rain, those red clay banks will really, you know, stain some water up. Where on Lake Moultrie, most of those waves that are hitting the shoreline and the water coming out of those backwater ponds, most of that is sand. So that helps that a lot. But, yeah, I love a cheeseburger from Black Camp, by the way.
Mm-hmm. And especially when we were that hungry.
Yeah, it helped. Mm. We were hungry, and it took them like 15 minutes to get it ready.
And you're just smelling it the entire time. All right, yep. Come on, pick up the pace here.
But, yeah, kind of a cool place. Well, you know, you mentioned Matt Airy, and obviously we're not going to get the New York swing, so if you got time, we'll hang over on the next one. Got about a minute and a half or so, Davey, and we talked about Matt. Matt was on the show a couple weeks ago. He said, you know, I'm going to own that fish for the rest of my life, my career, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you had one the same way. So from your perspective, and take about a minute to do this or so, how do you own a fish like that? I mean, I guess there's a recovery period, and then it's just like part of who you are.
It is, and I'll try to make this brief. It'll be hard to do in a minute, but I'll do the best I can. I thought it was the worst thing that in when I finished second in the Bassmaster Classic, and that was when the last person that weighed was almost always. I had never seen it not be the winner. They drove me in the arena, the last person they thought. They had looked at my fish and thought I had a little more than I thought I had. It turns out, unfortunately, I was right and they were wrong. It felt like the worst thing that ever happened to me in professional fishing. And like you said, once I was able to think about it and get over that a month or so later, it turns out I think it was the best thing that happened to me short of when I did win the Classic. Because it, number one, gave me confidence. I had the fish on the line to win the World Championship, so I knew I was capable.
Okay.
And then the other thing is I was so motivated because I promised my son that was, you know, 5 years old at the time and was crying because they told him that I was going to win. And I didn't. I promised him, and I probably shouldn't have, but I promised him I would win one day. So I was very, very driven from that point on.
And I can see that happening to Matt. That would mm-hmm. be exactly how he'd take it. He may come out the next few tournaments and walk off with both of them. All right, well, we do want to talk about the Northern Swing. We want to talk about some smallmouth fishing and maybe a little more on the Classic coming up. So y'all hang on. Davey's going to hang with us, and we'll be back with more Woods and Water South on the other side. Oh, I can't believe I got this one, too. Oh, my goodness. I didn't even think about this one when I loaded in. I reloaded the dance song for Davey the last time. And then we got this one, which is the Hooters, and we danced.
The what?
It's the song. It's by the Hooters, and the song is titled, and we danced.
Hmm.
And I just have it today.
Oh, yeah, you have it.
Folks, we need to, Taylor,
yes.
We need to start recording the off-air stuff.
That's
doing like a hodgepodge.
That's classified information.
Podcast of the off air Woods and Water radio
shows.
There's
a reason it's off air, though.
Davey, would you agree, Davey, that that's kind of a cool idea?
I'm going to have to go with Taylor on this one.
Oh, no. Oh, man.
Now, bloopers.
Bloopers would be
fun. You could do a bloopers one.
But there again, see, Davey, during the off-air side, Davey brings up that you're just not going to date anyone, and when does this guy need to come meet you, which brought up the whole angler. I don't know what we need to call this. I need to get with Matt and figure out what we're going
to
call this. But
we
Matt Erie, a couple
anything.
Weeks ago, was talking about a I guess, a boyfriend advisory committee. A professional anglers that you could submit boys to. We would interview, background check them, mm-hmm. rate them, and give you our recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
And Davey brought up kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Great minds think alike, Davey Height.
I think it would be great. I do think it would be great.
See?
We would have a long checklist of do's and don'ts.
Yes.
The first thing I asked Taylor was, does he fish? And he did pass that part of the questionnaire that
mm-hmm.
he said he does fish and hunt, so that's
he does.
Those are fairly important to me too. That's a groundwork.
You
I just
like him. You just don't want to admit it.
I will never like any guy until he is gainfully employed, has health insurance, and a house. Davey, would you agree?
I'm with you on that one.
All
I'm
right.
with you on that one.
Davey's like
gainfully employed is very important.
I'm glad that we know Davey like we do. Otherwise, he'd be sitting there scratching his going, I thought we came in here to talk about fishing.
You know, I was just looking at this list, and nowhere on this list of questions do I see Davey's opinion on the whole boyfriend board thing.
But he's
it's not even a topic. Imagine that. It's not even a topic on this list. So we may as well just go ahead and get back to the topic, because there's some very important things on this list from what I'm seeing right here. So, Dad,
do you get a little of the defensiveness that I live with all the time, Davey? Do you get a little bit of that?
I do.
Okay, y'all, hush.
Let's talk small mouth
fishing. All right, we got some New York Elite stops coming up. Two more stops in the year. A little earlier than last year, probably the same timing as in 2019. Is this going to be a whack 'em and stack 'em, or is this going to be a battle of ounces?
Well, I think it'll be a little bit of both, to be honest with you. I think the battle of the ounces will be separating the middle of the pack and not making that first cut and not making that last $10,000 check. But I think we'll see some big stringers of smallmouth weighed in. Keep in mind, Lake Champlain is not a great lake, but a lot of people think it should be the next lake named one of our great lakes. It's very, very big, and the wind can really play a big factor in the weight, how these anglers are able to get to and from their fish, from takeoff over to the inland sea. Some anglers running all the way to Ticonderoga. But
wow.
Roger and Taylor, I do want to say one day you guys are going to have to come up there, and I'll take you on a little smallmouth trip in between some of these turns. Because if you've never caught a smallmouth, any of our listeners, if you've never caught a smallmouth, You really are missing out on being a bass fisherman or fisherwoman, because it is absolutely incredible to set the hook on a 4 or 5 pound smallmouth and see them jump 4 feet, out of the water in the air. Almost it looks like eye level with you. It's just really, really incredible.
Dad,
all right.
You know what that sounds like?
An invitation.
That sounds like a plane ticket that you're going to pay for me to fly up there, and you can just stay here.
See, that's where you're mistaken, because I have these free buddy fares, so both of us can go.
I don't know about that, because I do recall you saying you were busy while they're going to be up there, so.
But he brought up a great point.
Gosh.
He brought up smallmouth fishing. Mm-hmm. Davey Height, how do you catch smallmouth?
Well, there's a lot of ways to catch them. The big thing is you can catch them power fishing. You don't see as much of that, it seems, as you do the finesse fishing, the drop shots and that sort of thing. But they'll bite top water. They'll bite crankbaits. They'll bite lipless crankbaits. All the things that you catch largemouth on, you can catch smallmouth on. But so many of the places where we have these final events, the water is just so clear. Lake Champlain, for the most part, and then the St. Lawrence River, Lake Ontario.
Right.
So that that causes people to oftentimes downsize with their line and the size of their bait just because the fish, smallmouth or sight feeders, and they can be wary of that the bigger line and the bigger bait.
So it's more of a challenge then.
It is in a way, but I don't, you know, those lakes are just not fished like ours down south. Our lakes get pressure 365 days a year, and those lakes get pressure, but typically it's June, July, and August. So only for 3 or 4 months out of the year do those lakes get a lot of pressure.
So Lake Champlain, big water runs to get to where they want, and then the St. Lawrence River, man, it seems like that's a great stop every year for the last few years.
It is, and it's incredible. The first year I started fishing, you know, quit my job and tried to become a professional bass fisherman way back in the 90s, was the first event of the year was on Lake, the St. Lawrence River / Lake Ontario, and I had never caught a smallmouth. And the first event of my professional career, I needed to catch smallmouth. I didn't do very well. But the next time we went there, I finished second to Kevin Van Dam. So the learning curve set in. I learned a lot about smallmouth in a short amount of time. But it's what's really incredible about having fished it in the 90s and fishing it, you know, last year some, and I'll fish there some this year when the tournament's not going on.
Right.
The fish have gotten much bigger. The numbers were always there, but years ago, if you had 12 to 15 pounds, you were doing really good, and now if you have 12 or 15 pounds, you'll be right out on that first cut headed back to South Carolina.
Yeah, because you're gonna have 20, 22, 25-pound stringers on those top guys every day.
Yes, absolutely.
Amazing. That is a trip we need to make, Taylor.
Yep.
A definite trip. So, let's see. July the 8th through the 11th is Champlain, and the 15th is – so they're sandwiched. You got ICAST sandwiched right there in the middle of both of those, don't you?
Yes, and that for the first time in many, many years. I don't even remember last time I missed the ICAST, but I'm not going to be at the ICAST this year because of that. And then there's some, you know, there's still some lingering COVID effects.
Sure.
I guess lingering. So many places here in South Carolina, you know, and in Texas where the classic was, have opened up totally. But there's still some people that are not going to be attending those events like ICAST because of the COVID situation. Yeah. So.
Well, real quickly, the 22 Classic is coming up. We got about 3 minutes left in the whole show in this last segment. 9 months away, which is kind of odd to talk about a classic only 9 months away when we just finished up one. Got some, 24 anglers are about there, are going to get dropped from the elites this year. You got elite guys that are qualifying through the opens. You got open guys qualifying that are coming in. You got the former classic winners, automatic bid. And you got Matt Airy sitting in 40th place, one spot out of the classic cut. Kind of already, he's probably in with Hank Cherry being qualified. But what does Matt need to do over the next two stops to make that cut and maybe some of the other guys underneath him?
It's interesting you ask that because that's the first thing I was going to talk about. I appreciate you leading me right into it. Because
yes, sir.
Patrick finishing second in our classic just a few weeks ago. He's going to have to, you know, have two decent tournaments up there. He's not going to have to win either one, not even top 10. But he needs to have two decent tournaments. And I'm certain. I'll go out on a limb and say I'm certain Matt Airy will do that and qualify. But you know, along with him, looking at that AOI list, and we're going to lose 20-plus anglers after this season with the Bassmaster Elite.
Yep.
And you look down, and you see a Clark Winlett, Scott Canterbury. That, you know, Clark Winlett is reigning Angler of the Year. Scott Canterbury has been in contention every year, and you see they're in the, you know, 60th.
Yeah.
61, 62, kind of right in there. But both of those anglers are very good on the northern swing. It would not surprise me. They can make up a lot of ground also. But Seth Fider, I think, will be all eyes on Seth Fider on this northern swing because he's leading AOI, and everyone knows he's a good smallmouth fisherman. But he's got the one and only Jason Christie in second place that I'd hate to, you know, if I'm Seth Fider, he's probably the last person I would want right behind me. And then let's not forget about South Carolina's own Patrick Walters being in third place, still with a legitimate chance to win AOI. But and you're an accountant, Roger. It's simple math. Seth Spider, if he makes two top 20s, he cannot
it's
lose
over.
Bail-wise. He's
yeah.
just got to have two pretty good tournaments.
Yeah. You know, I'm gonna tell, we got – I hate to keep – trying to give you a heads up. You got about a minute left. What is Seth Spider like? Because you see this persona and all that, and you've gotten to know him a little bit. What's he's an interesting character.
He is, but what you see is what you get with Seth Spider. There are anglers that put on a different character, I guess you could say, when they have a camera on them, but not Seth Spider. He is that way all of the time, and he's one of the guys that was vocal about, I'm staying with BASF. That's what I've always dreamed of. And it would be great to see Seth Spider win an Angler of the Year or a Classic title or something like that, because I'm telling you, it will be a fun time, and I'm looking forward to being there when whoever holds that trophy. But if Seth Spider holds that AOY trophy, he and I are going to spend a little time together that afternoon, I can promise.
Sounds like we need to be there, Taylor.
Uh-huh.
Oh, gosh, I don't know if we could fit in ICAST and a up north, but I do have some free tickets.
No, we can. I will find
it
a way.
It might be interesting. gosh, Davey, it is so much fun having you on the show. We really appreciate your time today and taking the extra time to be here. Mm-hmm. And any last thoughts in the last 5 seconds?
Well, I just enjoy being on the show with you, and I don't know what else to do other than say I'm inviting you guys on a smallmouth fishing trip, and you will have fun.
And I'm going to say we'll be there.
All right, folks. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Thanks, Davey Height. Thanks for listening, folks. As always, make time to get out there.
Take the back road when you can.
And don't forget that camera. Back next week. More Woods and Water. Have a safe 4th of July holiday.